Good morning and welcome to Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make the Elm City tick. Nothing ticks more than Pundit Friday, which we're about to begin here in the WNHH studio with the number one pundits in the media universe. Pundits like the dairy-free goddess of our grassroots radio operation, the belle of our ball, inner-city news managing editor, and Love Babs host Babs Rawls Ivy. How you doing, Babs?
Hey, baby. How are you?
You've been on every day. You've been going a couple hours early this morning on the air.
Yes.
And you are my favorite radio personality. In addition to one other who just walked
That's
in.
What he says to all of them.
You know what? He's so petty and small and
one
jealous.
Of don't my be two.
Just, you know, don't hate. Appreciate.
We've also got the flyest hunter-gatherer this side of Flint Street. News hunter-gatherer, star New Haven Independent reporter Markeisha Ricks. You see her everywhere, but she's here right now.
Good morning.
The queen of quippery.
Sorry,
quintessence of compassion, La Voz Hispana publisher Norma Rodriguez-Reyes.
Hola.
WNHA station manager and heavy D Donald Trump devotee, Harry Droz.
He kind of gave you a compliment and then not. Heavy D was a great rapper.
And we got the divine. We got the diviner of destiny.
Yes.
The tackle of tempestuousness and titan of temperance.
That's right.
The banisher of bilious bullies, prince of pleasantries and punctuality.
Woo!
Sorcerer of scientific solution and the blessed beatboxer of banksters and bacchanalians.
Uh-huh.
The bodhisattva of battle rap.
Mm-hmm.
The alchemist of assonance and alliteration.
Uh-huh.
The maniacal monarch of mercy. The liberated lion of lucidity.
Mm-hmm.
The optimizer of opulence and opportunity. The plow driver of peace. The daring don of dope deliberation. Sultan of spit. Esteemed elucidator of ebonics.
Yeah.
He's the bodacious, bold-faced bullet barista of bop. Chessmaster of chill.
Uh-huh.
Beyond just somewhat honorable high priest of hip-hop. Right reverend of rapture. Reigning raconteur of riffitude.
Yeah.
Sanctified slayer of the slow-witted.
Uh-huh.
Maximusologist Joe the Ugly.
No, no.
Of the Joe Ugly Show.
No.
No.
You cut it short again. What is going on? No. Needless
to
add.
Welcome, everyone.
I was saying Love Babs.
Welcome.
Did you hear the show the other morning? When I said that Love Babs, she gets so. When he starts reading off my name, don't hate, appreciate.
I mean, I do for the first 45 minutes.
Hey, you know what I was wondering, folks? There might be a special reason that the most enthusiastic cyclist in the studio rode to work today. Joe Ugly. Did Joe ride to work today? You're 2 blocks to work.
Exactly. It's just like 2 blocks.
Or you walked, right?
I walked.
That counts. So Markeisha Ricks found out that you might be in some big money or prizes.
Because
today's
I walk?
The beginning of September.
Yeah.
And this is the month that if you walk or bike or take the bus to work, you can compete and win. Well, what's that all about, Markeisha? You were there yesterday.
Well, I can't
for
compete. I got to be honest.
I could walk to work from my house.
I am 2 blocks away, but I drove this way.
You drove 2 blocks.
I mean, you could walk. It's a hike, but you could do it. I mean,
Joe,
I've done it.
More work
I walk from Westville.
Oh, no, I was thinking just to the inner city.
But wait a second. So, Marcus and I walk or bike 2.5 miles to work every day.
You guys walk?
Or bike. Yeah,
Or take the bus.
Yeah, sometimes I bike.
Occasionally,
like
nice
today,
New Haveners will give us a ride.
I walk 2.5 miles each way. So, Joe, you live 2 blocks from your work, and you drove, which is more than 2 blocks worth of
did
walking.
Did you drive today?
I drove.
How could you drive 2 blocks?
No, no, there's always
walking.
A legitimate...
Don't we have some of that Price is Right loser music?
No. I know, I do feel like it. But I drive some mornings because I take my crew to breakfast. So,
but y'all go to Claire's.
No, we don't. Not all the time. No, Jesus. Not this morning.
Where do you go to breakfast?
No, we went to the diner in Hamden. So I couldn't put
New Haven has a diner.
Because every time I see y'all are at Claire's.
Well, you might want to think about Claire's because Markeisha yesterday was
the pantry is also wonderful.
Markeisha went to the unveiling of Go
It's in East like or actually on State Street.
Way.
Next to the Corsair.
Yeah, that place is happening. That's
it's
that's
bomb.
Central.
Get pancakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
But anyway, Markeisha, tell us about the challenge that begins September 1st every year in New Haven.
Oh, man.
So for the last 4 years, the city has, through Go New Haven Go, which is the alternative transportation program, has put on a challenge where people record how they get to work outside of using their car, whether they share a ride with friends or coworkers, take the bus or walk to work or bike to work. And you can record, you know, how often you do that, hopefully every day for the month of September, and you have an opportunity to win fun local prizes.
Well, okay. This morning, I drove to work, but I got to bring my car back to the garage when I'm finished from here,
mm-hmm.
and then walk back to to the office. Does that count?
Maybe.
I think technically it would count.
And yeah. Independent, we participated the first year, and we killed everybody in our category.
Is that right?
Business. We went, I didn't claim any of the prizes because I wasn't interested in them, but we just kept track of what we do. We didn't do it.
Okay, you're hurting the aspect of the fun local prizes.
This was fun to do to see how you can bike, walk, or bus more, but since we already do that every day, we just wrote down what we do, and we won. So we've kind of stopped competing, but it's a cool. I think it's a great thing we do.
So what do you sign up at? You just go to
online. You can go to Go New Haven Go's website.
Man, or Marquise's article has a link to it.
Oh, okay.
So I think we do great New Haven trying to find ways for people not to drive to work. And right. It's really fun. October is also Walktober, where they do all these kind of promote walking. They have new bus passes for kids at Southern, although they should get the buses running and kind of sensible routes and times so that you could actually take the bus.
It's bus passes and Metro North, though, which is nice.
But I think we're doing a good job. Marquise, you had some big numbers in there about how many units of energy were saved every year. I mean, it's in the millions, right, through people through this program?
I don't know about that. but I don't remember writing anything about millions in my article. But like there's like something like 165 tons of carbon dioxide emission that have been avoided by people participating in this.
Well, I just think it's a great thing. People who are having a hard time getting around right now, they're going by boat in Houston.
What?
The fourth city, largest street city in the country had
that's,
a flood.
That's like, definitely an outside like of the car commute.
And America has never seen a flood like this before. Fourth biggest city and all these towns around had the streets had up to 50 inches of water, which is how much they usually get a year. And a lot of tragedy. We've all been watching it this year. I was wondering, folks, and I have my own I want to mention, what has been the most compelling story you've written about this national tragedy unfolding? What have you read or seen that has struck you the most about the flood, Norm or Babs or Joe or Marquise or Harry?
That Melania Trump wore 5-inch stilettos.
See, that bugs me. Why did people write that? She was going onto a plane. That was such a
silly
thing to talk about.
I just felt like...
I actually thought it wasn't a silly thing to talk about. And I think Robin Givhan at the Washington Post did an excellent job of talking about why it's important that your first lady not leave the house in stilettos and show to you that she knows that as soon as she gets to Houston, her feet are not touching any water.
Correct.
She's not going out to shake hands and kiss babies. She's like, I don't plan on getting wet.
She's not the president.
I don't care.
No, but she's
the representative of the United States of America, even though she's not elected.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
But here's my...
So I think it is important. I think it matters. I think the optics matter, especially when her husband is out here basically trying to sell baseball caps at a flood.
Right.
It matters. It absolutely matters.
That bugs me.
It absolutely matters. But you know what? As a woman, they're a package deal. For better or worse, for better or for worse, they're a package deal. They come together. But if you're going to show up, show up.
I want to know if they're saving lives.
I think there's a fashion statement here that we need to think about. You know, for instance, many Latinas at the age of 15, when they get their first pair of heels, they never take them off. Okay? I'm one who goes everywhere I go. But all the Europeans always wear heels.
No,
they're fashion.
She has 1,000 people on her staff who could have got her together.
But you know,
before she came.
She took. They said that she
I gives
took
no quarter.
Sneakers or whatever it was, low shoes when she got over there.
She did.
Yeah, she put on some Adidas.
You know, folks, we have
and her FLOTUS hat.
But here's
we've
what
had
I
babies die by babies' mothers dying while they're holding them in a flood. They got people going to rescue a national emergency operation. Do we really need to be talking about Melania Trump?
See, this is the thing. This is what white media does because they don't understand. They never understand the history of optics and what those kinds of things mean. We always have to dissect the hidden meaning of that.
But
this
is this
woman,
really
this,
can I just
this, no, it's
something
not.
Here that
but
is
you
very
have to.
So
you have to take a page from that to understand that this woman showed up and what it said to those people was, I'm not with you. I'm
not
about
you.
I'm not one of you. I'm not like you.
Yep.
I'm not for you.
Yep.
That's what that said. If I show up in a Santa Claus suit, what are you going to think? You think it's getting ready for, I'm going to give out some gifts. I'm ready for Christmas.
Right.
If I show up in an Easter Bunny suit, you think I'm going to bring Easter eggs.
Right.
If I show up
in stilettos,
let me correct the record because she didn't show up in stilettos.
She left her house in stilettos. She left the same house difference. In
stilettos, got on the plane, and got off the plane in sneakers.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she got off the plane in sneakers. You right. Look, but and her FLOTUS hat. Let's not forget her FLOTUS hat.
Just because the news was while they were traveling, now, the news reporters stopped questioning
what
it.
What did Michelle use to Sandy?
What's that?
Let me ask that question. What did Michelle use to greet the people?
Michelle's not the first lady. Michelle Obama is not the first lady. Michelle Obama is not the first lady.
He's talking about Sandy.
Sandy, Hurricane Sandy.
She wore flat shoes.
You're wrong because Michelle didn't go to greet people for Hurricane Sandy.
But when
she wasn't compassionate enough to go with her husband to help those people.
You know what I do
have
to say?
Are you kidding?
Let me just say this much.
Are you kidding?
Let me just say this much.
Given that this was this first lady's first opportunity to even participate in like pretending she's first lady. Because, you know, she just arrived like full time from New York, right? So this is her first opportunity. Michelle Obama was visible consistently.
It's okay. Paul,
she was consistent. She was consistent. She was consistent in meeting with military families who'd lost their loved ones at war. She was consistent every time. She was. The White House was always open to other people's
There's
children.
There's really not a conversation about Michelle Obama. I think even Obama haters, except for Harry Droves, know she was a fantastic first lady. It's not even.
You can't even measure her.
Well, let's put aside the
shoes. All I'm saying is that she is part of the entire response from an unsympathetic Trump administration who has consistently shown themselves not worthy of the American people's adoration in any way. They can't expect anything from them but a sales pitch.
So here's what I got to say is the whole thing that bugged me with the whole... I watched the coverage of it last Sunday, and it wasn't until Monday that I start seeing black folks on boats. And that's where I was more concerned about. I was trying to figure out where were all the black folks on all the coverage from this. I didn't see any
There's
of us.
The white media issue. That's
it was not
to
until Monday did I see, and they weren't on boats, actually. They
we can be interested in all those
boat.
Things simultaneously. Okay. We're smart people.
What's that?
I said we can be interested in all those things simultaneously. We're smart. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm pretty smart.
You know what? Me too. And I can
Thank
eat fried
you.
Chicken and watermelon
right?
and
enjoy
walk
it. And chew gum all at the same time. All of those things could be true.
I could talk about pumps and not seeing my people rescued.
Oh, we
boom.
Can do that.
Sorry.
I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't say it. I'm adding on.
Can I tell you what the story that interested me the most about it?
Yes.
I think there's actually a story in this that's very relevant to our entire country.
Oh, that wasn't for you. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
What did she say?
Oh, no, it was...
We over here. We're good.
Oh, no. We having a end of
We having a black people moment. Sorry. That can break out at any time.
Really? That's a problem with you folks. Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
I was really seeing the story in the Times yesterday about how Houston developed. They built so much stuff and destroyed all the floodplains and all the wetlands. Yep. Half of the buildings that got built. The developers ignored U.S. Army Corps, not suggestions, directives. There were rules by the federal government. If you build here, you got to preserve this open space. You got to have drainage for the water. They didn't do it. It was an act. They bragged about it in Houston.
Yep.
We're building up the city with no regulation. It was the Texas model, the Republican Trump model now with environmental protection, whether it's Rick Perry, the governor, or Scott Pruitt, the EPA. I'm not making a joke about this.
No, you didn't.
They said this was the best This is the best example in America, the most intensive experiment. And how you build up a city with no regulation, no concern for where they always make fun of Al Gore, only environmentalists and everyone,
right.
And you're all wussies, you don't want to help people, including helping poor people, letting people afford to buy homes near chemical plants and places that'll get flooded without protection. That made them cheaper so they can buy them. And it was a city that completely turned its back. So even though anyone would be hurt by this flood, there was so much more damage, so much more destruction, so much more lasting
A lot more happened people, because it didn't happen.
I believe this storm was a repudiation of the anti-environmentalist and anti-regulation mantra that big business has convinced Trump voters and everyday Americans to embrace as though it's in their interest rather than in the quick profit interests of big corporations, and that they have raped our land, raped our landscape, and now with the combination of climate change that they denied existed and clearly exacerbated this flood— that this is the beginning unless somebody gets this crazy deregulation train
they're not.
Off the rails.
You know what they're going to do? You know what they're going to do? This is what this is the Republican playbook right now. Watch. This is an act of God. and we can't possibly foresee acts of God. So we take our responsibility off the table because this is an act of God.
Jesus,
watch,
take the
watch,
wheel.
Watch, yep, watch, watch. In the you're next few days, they're going to start that God foolishness because that's what they do.
Because we have a double whammy.
You know, they'll start that.
No more rules on how you can build to protect people's safety if it's in the way of corporate profits, which is the environmental policy of the Trump administration gone on steroids, and climate change, which now the official websites the government aren't allowed to acknowledge is happening, but it's happening in a big way.
But even,
Harry,
but even
right
without climate change, if I could just interject here, Paul, let's not even address the fact of climate change. Houston is only 50 feet above sea level. 50 feet. That's less than this
and
building.
And it was built wiped out a whole bunch of times. It was originally built
exactly.
up because of the floods.
So that alone would tell you it will be a problem to overpopulate without putting proper drainage.
So bravest man, New Haven, Harry Trump, are we Trump haters blind in this case? Are we wrong? Is it actually true what Scott Pruitt and Rick Perry and Donald Trump say, that we can't have these wussy environmental protections to guard against floods and protect wetlands?
And earthquakes, Scott Pruitt.
Here, let me explain something, because I know it's hard. You know that Houston wasn't built under Trump, right?
No. Houston.
Oh,
is
this convenience of
Obama.
No.
It was sent to a list of things.
As Hurricane Katrina and the Ark and all of that happened under Obama.
You know what? I'm still mad that Obama did not help with that whole ARC situation.
Yeah, no.
I feel some kind of way about that. Situation.
But Harry, instead of taking the issue, I'm not saying Trump built Houston. Trump administration has championed the dismantling of any environmental regulations, and they have embraced the model that Rick Perry in Texas championed and is now his energy secretary, that Scott Pruitt is championing, that you should not force companies to protect open spaces. In fact, they want to sell a lot of them off for development. Do you really think that that is not a position that they're taking, that this flood has exposed as being a vicious, earth-destroying, life-destroying mistake?
Common sense, Harry. Here we go.
Yeah, let's play some common sense here.
Okay.
No, God.
All right, because you're saying that Trump is championing hurricanes.
No, that's not what he said.
Please answer what I'm saying. No. He's championing removing environmental regulations such as those that in places other than Houston would have preserved wetlands and had flood protections, because they're not in Houston.
Because they already built on top of them.
The Republicans in Texas have destroyed any kind of environmental regulation and zoning for flood protection.
See, I always love when I make people move the goalposts.
No, so he didn't move the goalposts, Harry. Houston, maybe you didn't know what field you were playing on. No, he didn't move the goalposts. He specifically said,
"This is the Trump, example of what we're going to see elsewhere."
You're right. Yeah. The Trump administration.
No, it's not because of what happened in
champion.
Houston.
Well, go ahead.
It's not because of what happened in Houston. Babs just said, right, that people are going to use the God excuse.
But
and
they
everything
are.
Because
oh,
the
will.
Storm. These storms happen all the time. The
no,
only
no,
thing they
no,
turn
they
out
don't.
To see.
No, they do not happen.
They
back
do.
Close. And
they do happen.
The Gulf of Mexico has been extremely hot this year.
So wait,
it's
Harry,
one of the warmest
Harry
on
denying
record,
that the
which
extra heat from global warming
storms.
Exacerbated the storm.
And you think all that oil drilling out there don't have nothing at all to do with it? Those platforms in the Gulf of Mexico.
The platform actually caused the storm now, Joe?
No, but you don't think it has anything to do with heating up?
Conspiracy theorists.
No, it has nothing at all to do with heating up.
I just wanted to hear an answer.
I literally heard. Oh my God, this guy.
So you're getting one point
on
both sides.
Did he waste my time?
Does he even drive his car? Do you drive a car, Harry? You drive a car?
Yes, I do.
I go, well, you know.
He changed it. He changed his mind.
What's that?
He really doesn't have anything to say.
No, I changed my mind.
What we have to say is that you're listening to Pundit Friday, running down the week's headlines in New Haven. Home for community, WNHH 103.5 FM, live streamed in New Haven and Penn.org. We've been working on flooding in New Haven because we've been noticing that, let's say, around the train station, for instance, it floods really quick.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got some federal money to try to work that out. And I got a call from the city's engineer, Giovanni Zinn. They were actually looking up old New Haven independent photos from other flash floods in that area to see where the water built up the most. That was kind of fun. But what about on the East Shore? You know, we strengthened the pier there. Should we be ensuring through the government people living on coastlines that will be destroyed?
They really need to stop. I mean, the living on water, it's nice once it's sunny out. People have to start looking at this thing for when it takes a change. Look, I used to live in the water practically. You know?
Really? You lived in the water?
It was practically in the water. Both Irene and Sandy, we had to evacuate. I mean, you could not, you can't live out
now
there.
Now you're
like
on
that.
The 45th floor.
Well, let that water.
So you want to get up there?
Listen, Babs will be at the top of Lexion building.
Yes, I will. I was there for lunch.
And
oh my God,
and it becomes apartments.
That's going to become
my
Yale.
First
let
house.
Me tell you, I hate my, telling you this.
Well, I used to live in City Point.
Joe's got a point on Yale,
and and right across from the baseball field, you know, and then across from the baseball field is, you know, the Long Island Sound.
Right.
So we had to carry flood insurance on my home there because. It did flood, I guess, I don't know, 1,000 years ago or whatever, but we had to be thinking about that. And there have been times where we have seen the water
come to the field.
But you know what?
Norma, please go close to the
mic. Why don't you, I've had the opportunity, and I know when I was director of the Atwater Senior Center, there used to be some old maps of New Haven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in the hill right now, they would not give me insurance for my home on Arch Street because they claimed that it was close to a flooded area. Yet I live on Harbor Close Landing. Every time there's a thing, you know what, the lights go out, there's a problem there, I have to go to Arch Street to my mother's house to stay there. And yet they would not give me insurance.
Are you in the landfill?
All of that area.
Now, all of that.
Even
was
the cemetery is all fill. Well, it's all been, at one time it was all water.
Right. Well, the thing about the flood insurance, from what I understand, and I may be wrong on this, and I'm willing to accept that, Harry. Watch how it works. You know, I may be wrong about this.
That was shade.
But I do. Oh yeah. But I do believe that the insurance company looked back, and if it was a landfill, a fill-in, or something to that nature, the flood insurance has to kick. You know, the mortgage companies, as a matter of fact, they look for. You should get flood insurance.
Yeah, we had to at my house at City Point. Because, we had to because we couldn't get a mortgage without it.
Right. The water used to come all the way up to George
Street. My question is whether we should be insuring mortgages or insuring people for flood through the government if they're choosing to live in areas like the Outer Banks, let's say the coastline in the Carolinas. Should we, if we think it's going to be underwater another
generation? Well, if government is going to allow them to build, yeah, we're going to have to.
We're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is.
Government don't take a stance.
Maybe
to say,
don't build there.
Or,
yeah. Well, yeah. I don't. I wouldn't go that far. What's because that? I think technology will catch up, and will catch up to what we're experiencing.
So we can prepare.
Or technology will account for the changing climate.
So you just change the narrative from God's going to save us. Technology is.
Get up off the water.
But you know what? Here's the thing. People with money are going to build what they want to build where
that's
they're going to build.
That's where government has to step in and say no.
I mean, I'm on the fence with that. I really am on the fence with that because I think, you know, people want to do it. And if there's, I believe the technology will catch up.
But just don't expect government need to subsidize that.
Right. I mean, but our tax dollars subsidize so many things that we are not even aware of.
That's true.
So,
that's
you know.
But back in the day, when you look at East Shore.
Norma, you should get the mic.
Back in the day, when you look at East Shore, a lot of these homes that were built near the water, they weren't really resorts or anything. Poor people used to live in those areas. That's the only place that they can go live in.
And New Haven's very interesting in that a lot of people who don't own a lot of expensive houses live on some form, if not the shoreline, they live next to a river because there are three rivers in this city. So when you're riding through like Fairhaven Heights, some of those houses don't look like grand houses where people who have lots of money live in them.
Maybe not now, but at one point they were like the captains of fishing boats.
We're talking about now, though, at a time where we believe that climate change is changing the way things flood, and places that didn't used to be in floodplains are in floodplains now. Yeah. So like when I bought this house, it wasn't in a flood.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I live
from coastal
in Beaver
Georgia,
Hill.
So it's happening all over there.
And we have a pond. We have a pond
that
has
pond
flooded.
That thing will flood.
But because I live up on a hill on Bellevue, which is beautiful view, and it's because it's on a hill, I don't feel like water will come up.
Remember
but
back in 82 when the West River flooded?
Yeah.
And you could take a boat and swim in Wessel Village?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then they did some work on the West River.
But let me ask you,
the West River way back, all the way up in Amity is what I understand at one point when there was a flood, like all like that area right there near Pond Lily and all that, like that had flooded.
Yes.
And like,
yes.
Like when those 100-year flood events happen, which seem to be happening more than every 100 years, like we're assuming we've created a benchmark that protects people, but then nature proves us wrong.
Yeah.
And as these things tend to accelerate, like hurricane season, we expect hurricane season to happen when hurricane season happens. Nobody expected Sandy to flood New York.
Yeah, true.
Like, nobody expected that. Like, that was like what people hope are a once in a lifetime thing, but it might not be.
Mayor in 2010, within the first 4 years, he had, I think it was four storms that were so big that they equaled what every other governor had at most once in their tenure.
Yeah.
Like who was this? Daniel Malloy in 2010. Oh. Like, we had Snowmageddon. We had that October snowfall that was the surprise.
And there used to be a time where you could live in certain parts of the country and not expect certain natural disasters to happen.
And tennis tournament? Remember what happened there?
When
Stefano was
the
in charge of building it.
Mm-hmm. The stadium. And they had the bubble on the court.
Oh, my. And all because of all that water.
Mm-hmm. The water came up. But, you know, to Harry's, back to Harry a little way, he is a daughter of man-made disasters, i.e., look at what's going on in Oklahoma right now. They have more earthquakes in Oklahoma right now than ever before, than ever recorded. They have earthquakes every single day in Oklahoma. Why are they having all these earthquakes?
Because of the fracking taking place.
The fracking that's taking place, which
it's not
is
the squirrels.
Man-made.
There you go. Man-made
issues. These are all man-made issues.
And we're
maybe
talking about
them
on Pundit Friday on WNHH Radio, your home for community radio. 103.5 FM, live stream, New Haven Independent. The kids came back to school this week.
Yeah,
I really love to see
the most wonderful time of the year.
Marquisha Ricks, 23,000 kids. Marquisha Ricks had some wonderful photos about Lincoln Bassett School when the grown-ups come, even ones who don't have kids in school, and they give the kids hugs, and we say we care about you, you want to start the year right. At Lincoln Bassett School, which has been a great turnaround success story in New Haven, it was a failing school, got some state money to try to help, and they succeeded so well, it became the leading example in the state of how you use that money right. They pulled in the community, do a lot of stuff. The teacher, the principal made that happen under her direction, was not there to hug the kids, Janet Brown Clayton. Turns out she got wooed away. She's a New Haven woman. She's not someone we just had for a few years. She grew up here. She had a career here. Mm-hmm. She got wooed by Bridgeport to be an assistant superintendent. Mm-hmm. So we lost her. And Babs Rawls Ivy went online and said, why didn't we get her for superintendent? Marquisha, why didn't we get her for superintendent?
Because she got hired by Bridgeport.
But also, before. She can't be the superintendent yet. She's at school to get
a
degree.
Oh, yeah, she's in school.
She wants to head that way. She's getting a degree so
but
that
why
one day
didn't we know that? Didn't we know that? See, if we would have known that, then we could have created a pipeline for her.
We could have made an assistant
to grow into that role. Mm-hmm. It's the talented. I mean, why do we have to lose our talented?
And that's what I was saying on my show this week.
Didn't notice that or pay attention to that.
We're talking about homegrown talent. We're always trying to lure people. Like right now, it's been taking us over a year to get a new school superintendent. Mm-hmm. We're looking to be from out of town, you know, all the time. We have someone here who is a superstar
It was not just any school she turned around. This was a school.
It
had people with different issues. The issues that strongly address the kids of the city of New Haven. Homelessness, hunger, all that stuff that was, in those schools, she addressed those issues and worked with those kids. The move on rate, which I it's not graduation; they're moving on from 7 to 8.
Yeah,
you know, so 8 to 9
promotion rate.
The promotion rate. Thank you. The promotion rate was strong. I mean, this woman had all of this.
And
their
test scores. Not that I believe that's the ultimate measure of things. Their test scores did go
number
way
one
up,
in the state.
But there
wasn't
was more
it?
Nurturing because they. They got this before school program. Tony Harp, the mayor, was testing out this idea of like 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. schools, which they're also doing Booker T, where because parents work different kinds of schedules and they want kids to have something to do in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And they have community groups like Concat there in the afternoon with after school programs. They have breakfasts and programs for the kids before school starts. And
So frustrated. I'm with you, Bob. I got so frustrated.
And if she is one, there's got to be others.
Exactly.
Who are talented, who just need to be. There needs to be some kind of pipeline created. Somebody's got to put their eyes around where is the talented in our already existing pool.
This is such a...
I just feel like that's a missed opportunity. It was such a huge missed opportunity.
You know,
right?
This is something that where people on the board of ed should be.
No, they're too busy fighting.
Exactly. This is what they should be doing. Look, let me be very straight out. I was at that forum with the mayor and Ed Joyner and Marcus Packer at the church a couple of weeks ago, Farrick Church a couple of weeks ago. And I heard Ed Jordan spoke. And as far as it goes for policy, the guy have great ideas.
That he's a Board of Ed member running he's for re-election.
Right. And he has great ideas of what he thinks. But all you hear from Ed Jordan is a lot of politics. And I think if half those politics go bye-bye, and I'm going to be the guy to say it, if half, if not three-quarters of them don't go bye-bye, he can be an asset to the board. He can be an asset. But I think it's caught up too much on politics, which has too much infighting. That's why we lost a principal like what we lost at Lincoln Bassett this week.
And she got hired like by Bridgeport, for God's
exactly.
sake. Exactly. Like, she didn't get hired to New Canaan.
And we're going
to
lose.
She got hired to Bridgeport.
And we're going to lose more teachers and principal or potential superintendents like that because of this unnecessary infighting.
And the extra insult of it being Bridgeport. You know? Hill resident wrote on Marquise's article, "Congratulations, Assistant Superintendent Brown Clayton. Bridgeport is blessed to have you, as was New Haven School System. And I will be so excited to celebrate your return to New Haven in a few years as superintendent."
Yes.
Who said that?
But see, that's always the case here, right? People got to leave before their greatness is recognized, right. And they got to come back.
Yeah.
Right, like we should have just we have to grow and fertilize our own talent.
That is a New Haven thing. You are so
it
right.
It is a very New Haven thing. Unless you come out of Yale, then the doors open for you magically to do anything and everything, experiment all you want, and everybody is happy. But let somebody homegrown try to sort of do something,
right?
And then they get pulled away to somewhere else. We don't have regard for Dr. Comer. Yep. We don't have regard for this woman.
Winfred Rembert becomes world famous.
Becomes world famous right here.
Leather artist, carver, still living in New Hallville. And it took until he was getting $10,000 per picture, had a book and a movie made about him and a tour of the country before he was invited to speak in a New Haven school.
Ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. That
blew my mind.
You're never a prophet in your own land.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay? The truth here is,
you know, we don't have to live that out all the time.
But you know, when you talk about
2,000 years, we can do something else.
The top position, when you're talking about, you know, like with the police, with the fire, with the Board of Education, it's not only what qualifications you have, it's also your ability to have the people that are going to be under you respect your authority and get together.
Which was a problem for Garth Harris.
That has been the main problem. That if you don't have the people under you respecting your authority, they'll make your life miserable. Mm-hmm. And no matter how educated, how smart you are, they're going to make life difficult for you.
But that's all part of what I was saying earlier. They waste so much time on the nonsense and the political and the other. No, but you know what? Sometimes, you know, no, that's people not being able to check themselves. You know,
what so strikes me in this election season? Because you're talking about the election and recognizing people have done well. Tony Harp's running for re-election, right? Mm-hmm. Some people think he's done a good job, think it was a bad job. I keep hearing
who said she's done a bad job? I wanted to take you on first.
The people who I think have the least to say and don't appreciate what she's done and can't name a single thing she's done are the people who are working for her.
Yeah.
I had so many conversations just yesterday with people who pay a lot more attention to news than anybody else, most people in town, who are perfectly fine with like a Tony Hopp, not against her. They all say, I don't know anything she's done in office. I said, well, I started listing things. They said, I never heard of that. I said, no, she read articles and been in listing.
Because you don't even pay
attention. No, but then they say people came to my door. One guy said to me, well, you know, someone came to my door from the Harp campaign. I said, well, I don't know if she's done anything. And they said, yeah, well. And like they had this whole conversation. They didn't say a single thing that Tony Harp has done well or even argued when he raised questions. And Marcus Packers ran against her. His people came fired up, said he's got energy, new ideas. And I'm just shocked at the inability of Tony Harp's campaign to say anything
out.
Like, for instance,
to get it out.
No mayor.
I'm not going to say anything about that. You know why? Because I have strong opinions about that.
And that's why you're on the show.
And I know they listen.
No, you should, because I said something about it, man. You know, I said something about it. I think that campaign or her campaign itself need that voice out here. They need someone to come out here. Look.
But like when I tell people, for instance, Brookside had a fence for a generation that kept public housing people and getting it moved. She just came in and it came right down.
Right.
I said, you know, I'm not saying, because there's a lot of things you criticize her for too. I'm just saying these things that they don't tell you the story. That for the Steph administration for 10 years couldn't get a theater put in Roger Sherman, the old Roger Sherman, the palace, because Yale didn't want it there.
Done.
Boom, they found a way around it. They got this wildly successful College Street Music Hall. The Hill, there were 11 acres that since the 1980s, the cities couldn't figure out vacant land, yep. not nice land. Mm-hmm. They couldn't get anyone to build it. Boom, they figured out a way to reconfigure a street, and they got millions of dollars going in to build hundreds of stuff. They got used to that. You know, kids, we have like six murders compared to 19 or 20.
Two of my sons were in Hartford, used that.
And they found this novel way that it took a mayor getting state officials to agree to buy into them, make it happen,
yeah.
to save people's lives. Now, I'm not saying that, therefore, you should vote for Tony Harp. You should vote for who you agree with and think done well or not.
Right.
But why doesn't the group of people who want her to get reelected, beginning with her, why haven't they communicated to sympathetic
I think it's the voices
people
around
in the
They're
city
not talking to
about
the
what they've done?
And you
but
know,
do they just not care?
No, I don't even know if it's so much not care. I just think it's just that people are getting comfortable. And this is how we ended up with a President Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But there's always a fair case to be made against the incumbent. Mars Couple Packer should do that, and he should do that.
Well, let me tell you my issue here.
If you're not happy with the mayor, go make the case.
Yeah.
But why isn't the mayor's team, which has worked very hard to do a good job and has lots of accomplishments, why haven't they communicated to people who are plenty happy to
because
like her?
Because I think Joe is right. I think people are comfortable. I think there's a lot of disloyalty. They have no respect.
Yep.
They don't understand politics.
Yep.
And they don't have her back on the smallest of things. And they're ready to be foolish at a drop of a hat.
And you want to talk about
my concern here is that what happens to Tony Harp looks to be very similar to what happened to Don Daniels. The African American were the ones who came together and made sure that Don Daniels got elected. But then, 2 years into his administration, it was the African American that got together to oust him. And it's, you know, a lot of them feel it's not enough.
But there were
you
two
know, when you look at the top positions in the administration, they're all African-American. But you know what? You would think that the African-American community would be happy that
well, no,
the top positions, wait a minute, are
African-American.
But they're saying, wait a minute, these people are African-American, but they're not homegrown.
No, you see, I'm not on the homegrown.
So, you know,
that's
one of the issues
well.
That, you know,
I heard that,
they're kind of upset
those
about.
Very exact words being used at the Varick Church, who's homegrown. That's nonsense. Look, men not necessarily be nonsense. Let me rephrase that because the teacher from Lincoln Bassett is homegrown. But however, there's a limit
that's
to that.
But that's a different conversation.
Yeah,
because
there should be a limit to that.
Nobody
to
was paying attention to her to cultivate her further into a top role.
Right.
This
exactly. No, the same people who scream homegrown didn't pay attention to that.
Right.
Hey, Jonah, huh? I'm just saying.
How about Kevin Lembo? Were you surprised that he dropped out?
I was because I had a conversation with him when I was at the rally, and he was getting geared up for this.
But he did say
he was thinking about it. I think this might be a tough climate for him and his family. This might be a tough climate.
So now the Democrats, everyone's kind of feeling like 2018 is a year where Democrats could lose the governor's office and control the legislature, that Connecticut could become a
red state.
What do you
God,
think?
I don't know where I was going.
Where
am I going?
You're
going
to be where you are in this blue dot right here.
Some people want Tony Harp to run for governor. So people around her really want to run.
Well, she needs a whole different campaign team.
Really?
Because this campaign team, it can't carry her to the governor's office.
They can't tell New Haven thinks she's done right in a city that would applaud it.
I've been holding my tongue. I just got to say.
And I like everybody in this town, but she needs a different team.
I've been holding my tongue on this one. Babs, but you bring it out. Listen, you cannot be a campaign manager and see a group of young black men in the city of New Haven. You can't be the mayor's campaign manager and see young black men and know that's what your opponent is trying to target and not say hello to them. Okay? You can't do that.
I'm just
that.
Worrying about the people you're sending out
you
on the street.
You can't reach. Well, that's it
but
right there.
But why don't the people who are working
top,
for you?
If the manager is not doing it, why would anybody else try to do it?
Why don't they know about the Hill development?
Exactly.
Why don't they know about College Street? Why don't they know about Eastat?
I'm not even in the slightest even
I have no,
thinking
I have
of
no idea.
Being
I don't know if
manager.
They feel connected. Maybe they don't feel connected
and
to.
And why is that? Because no one is reaching out to the people.
Yeah.
That's what it is. No one is reaching out and
telling
them.
Criticize. I think it's great for democracy. Because there are always going to be people who disagree with the people in.
Oh,
I think it's great for Packer to make the best case he
can.
Listen,
I told people.
And you know what, Paul? I'm going to tell you something about that whole thing right there. Let me just put that in a nutshell. If you and I ever fall out, we ever have a disagreement, not only am I going to talk about you on Ugly Radio, I'm coming for WNHH. How does that feel? How does that sound?
I'll see you in court, buddy.
There you go. You see what I mean? You see what I'm right? That's exactly what that whole thing is all about.
Am I going to see you in Patagonia? Marquise was there.
I tell you, it's cold enough outside to need a Patagonia fleece.
The 40th or 50th outdoor store now.
Oh, gosh.
I love that.
I love the fact that they say, you know, we're not cheap.
He goes, I'll see you in court.
I want to give a counter theory. Everyone's saying, why are we opening all these outdoor gear stores on Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
I want to give the gas station theory. People say that if you put a gas station next to another gas station, both end up doing better because people end up going there if they want gas. Now, we have Clinton Crossing. We have the new place being built in West Haven. We got the mall in Milford. Maybe if you are known for being a place where you have a lot of different kinds of choices, L.L. Bean, Denali Trailblazer, Patagonia, that maybe some people will go. I mean, it's the theory. They will go out of their way here rather than some suburban place to check out outdoor gear. I mean, that's kind of cool to see if that'll work. What do you think, Markeisha?
It's cold outside.
I think that will work.
I suggest you go get you a Patagonia fleece. Okay. Winter's coming.
I believe it will work because it's just like what car dealers do.
Free announcement. Right?
It's cold. I thought I was thinking about those fleeces today.
You know, even when I told my son.
When I went walking this morning,
I hear they're high quality.
On him. One of the
environmentally sourced.
I'm going to go look.
What is it called? Patagonia?
Patagonia.
Okay. My son had one of their backpacks, and I'm like, ooh, I like that.
Hey,
don't
I got a rain
laying
jacket.
Around. I'm going to have to snatch it up. And he goes like.
He'll see you in court.
Yeah, pretty much. He said, head on over to Trailblazer. I said, interesting. There's a new store that's coming in. He said, yeah, Patagonia. I said, yeah. It's not run by Trailblazers or something like
that? The franchise.
Right. He goes, oh, because I was like, why would they do that when they're selling it in there? He goes, oh, that makes sense because if I want one here and I don't want. He had that mindset.
And L.L. Bean, I think, can bring a lot of new people.
Right. He had that mindset of, if I don't want it here, I could just.
I mean, I'm glad that they're putting it there.
Speaking of gas station, Paul, why don't we have a gas station downtown?
Yeah, I know.
We used to, didn't we?
Well, we have one right at the Broadway Circle there. There's a gas station there. You know, at the end of Whaley where it meets Broadway.
Dude, do you know where I got to go to get a gas, man?
That's true. On your end of downtown, there's no place to go.
You got to go to the exit over there by the highway.
Street.
Yeah, by IKEA.
Long Wharf.
That's the closest. Can we get a little
collection for gas money to Joe to drive a mile to Long Wharf to get his gas?
I collect money to buy husband his shoes to walk in.
Joe, why don't you just helicopter it in on your helipad?
That's alternative transportation.
do you want any wine? Because, you know, Coffee Peddler, that like $90,000.
I do. Why are people anti-wine? That little drag over there has got a wine
East
bar
Street
already.
Right off Upper State. They have a very kind of fancy coffee shop called Coffee Peddler.
You know, I've never been in there. We got to go in there.
It's kind of expensive. Right now, the street hits State.
Okay, never mind.
Where
East Street hits Upper State.
Oh, okay.
Near the breakfast place.
Isn't it next door to the fry place? Where the all French fry place is? It sits on the little island, like a cross. Ah.
So it sits.
So
like
in case they want to, they're a coffee shop.
Next to Ortiz.
They want to be open at night and serve
across
wine.
From Subway.
And a bunch of neighbors don't want let them get zoning permission to sell wine as well. They say, well, they sometimes informally people have a BYOB and they make too much noise. And there's a really big debate
at the coffee house
when they start serving wine. And they say if you're
they have a bring your own bottle situation.
They say
now.
You're not a good neighbor. We feel you can give too much noise, but other people who don't live in that neighborhood, the neighbors split because some people love the place and they live there. There are more places to go to wine because you have Cave Vin, which you guys go to, which I still have to. I can't wait to go.
Yeah, we go there.
I can't wait to go. I hear the
you
jazz
haven't been
is good.
There?
No, I hear the jazz is good.
Oh, Paul, you must go.
Yeah, we're not getting out enough at night. But some people say that's why you're in a city. So if you look at the poll at The Independent on the story we have by Lucy Gelman, people overwhelmingly thought this is what you're supposed to have in a city. And the debate was interesting because Deborah Rossi from the management team says, I don't want to hear it. As a business owner, he is not being responsive to my neighbors. I can't tell you how many people I've asked to get off my steps in my driveway. They're unable to get
that
it.
That is so annoying.
And then somebody else said, equating the clink of wine glasses in the evening to late night motorcycle nuisance because he's worried about noise is disingenuous and foolish. The place has been great for the neighborhood. People don't want successful small
got
businesses
real in the
nearby.
Comments.
A cute coffee shop, for goodness sake, or can't handle minimal noise.
I mean, that motorcycle noise
should not
has
be
been
living
up there
in a
for
city.
Years.
Say, don't live in a city if you can't handle the noise. But then Rob N. said, New Haven's a tiny colonial city with many 19th century suburban character neighbors that are not noisy. It's a BS argument to tell someone to move because they don't want noise right next to their house.
Right.
We have zoning laws to protect the right of neighbors and reasonable for those neighbors to be concerned. But then a lot of other people say, if you can't handle someone just having some wine till 10 o'clock, at a popular neighborhood business, why would you live near a commercial area in a city? Because really, State Street is a commercial area. Do you guys have any thoughts on the great coffee peddler debate of 2017?
I mean, is it move really to
Westville.
Noisy?
Move to Westville. that's my answer.
Move
everything.
To Beaver Hill.
Coffee peddler, come to Westville.
Come to Beaver Hill.
Open your wine.
The coffee peddlers.
Well, they were in another
Lada
person's
studio.
Business, which is different. They didn't have their own standalone spot.
And they're still there.
Come to Westville. That's my answer to everything. Westville got a couple of open storefronts in the village.
$20
Are the wine glasses that
come on?
So you heard the U.S. government decided they're going to print the $20 bill with Harriet Tubman's face,
and that the guy is connected to Yale.
We're changing that decision. We love Andrew Jackson, who's Trump's hero, and they're saying we're not going to put Harry Tubman on the $20 bill. After
we should
all.
Put Harry Joseph
maybe we'll
put
him on
the $20
bill, which has an infinitesimal amount of. Currency circulation compared to the 20. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on maybe why
really?
Donald Trump would cancel putting really? A suffragist?
Because he wants his white supremacist
railroad.
Voters to keep
no,
voting
no,
for
no.
him.
Harry, any thoughts why?
Because those white people will start burning them $2
or
$20.
Would he move from a plan to be on currency by our president a week after Charlottesville? Any thoughts?
But Obama.
Because she wasn't an American. She was an immigrant. I'm trying to.
I don't know. I think the $2 bill is a great
According
idea.
To Ben Carson.
I think she's a special lady and she's getting a special bill.
Wow.
And there you hear it, folks.
Wow.
Must be a special lady.
Wow.
And a very exciting girl.
My opinion is that you are all special. And thank you for joining
get
us on Dateline New Haven with the best pundits
Somebody
in the media universe. Babs Rolls Ivy, Marquise Rix, Nora Rodriguez Reyes, Harry Jones, and Mr. Joe Ugly.
Thank
Hope you
so
all
much.
Have a great Labor Day weekend. Let's remember the holiday's real roots, which was supposed to be like May Day till American corporations tried to have a sanitized version. We still believe that the working person needs to fight and win.
Yes.
And that's what our labor
And I want to
about.
See Mayor Harp win, and I need her campaign to tighten up. I said
I'm with
it.
You on that.
Well, I'll tell you what. When
you said
Harp
I said what
to
I
win,
said.
Or Marcus Packer to win, you can go in yourself and watch them debate Tuesday night, September
I'm not
5th.
Going to that.
Hey, wait a minute.
No.
That's our
the
debate.
Independent
I'm coming to that.
And LaVos and Democracy.
Oh, yes,
Fund
I'm coming to that.
Our whole that. Debate on. With the two mayoral candidates, Democratic mayoral candidates.
I'll be there for that.
It's at Booker T. Washington Academy on State Street.
What
starting at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, September 5th. It's free. It will be on CTV later in the week.
I'm not
New Haven Register, LaVos, and independent reporters will be asking the candidates questions and... The candidates will be asking each other questions.
Oh, I can't do this one because I'm so
man.
Squarely in her camp, right?
Well, just to
right.
keep it balanced. Actually,
I am balanced.
I talked to Marcus when he was here, when Paul was interviewing him. And actually, I love the guy. I say Packer for mayor.
Right. Are you kidding?
You're such a contrarian. I feel like you choose anybody. You don't like establishment candidates.
I would say, let's
Harry
Dress
is like, if it's establishment, I don't
I
want nothing to do with it.
I salute both candidates for running, and I hope everybody gets to hear what they
see,
have
I'm
to
not
say.
That
I'll
way.
See you in court.
I'll see you in court.
Well, I'll see you next week, but for now, we're going to thanks their opponents and take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Feel to Be Free. From the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now, we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book it and fly free with us all weekend long at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.